Jim, are you back on the line?
I am, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Ready to go.
We're all ready to go then. So, well, item number four on the agenda, select project. Q1, 2019 priorities. Start out with the Sherman Fiber project. Jim?
Yes, sir. This was added to the agenda. I was hoping to have more to report, but still a lot going on here in the last week. So, two things I wanted to mention to the board that I think, again, kind of like some of the other ones we mentioned, the 2016 fiber bill would be a prime candidate for writing a statement of work for the governor's IGA. We started doing that. Also, in connection with other things are going on, trying to identify the status of the contracts for that project. I have confirmed up, we've done an internal review, and it looks like the only what could be considered a contract document for that fiber bill is actually a term sheet that was signed and authorized in January of 2016. The term sheet itself contemplates the drafting and the preparation of large style definitive agreements, basically a wholesale transport agreement that covers the 10 gig wave from what was extended from Grass Valley up to Slat. And then the other definitive agreement that's contemplated in the term sheet is a dark fiber lease that would cover the four fibers reserved Frontier Telnet as from what became Grass Valley up to Watco. Apparently, there were contract drafts of those definitive agreements that I've been in contact with Blake Lawrence within the development. Apparently, there were additional drafts of those documents that were circulated, but nothing was ever finalized, and we can't locate them. Inland is in the process of searching their files, so we had to start a base start, which to start. But the bottom line is we are getting close to confirming that the final agreements covering that this project were never finally finalized. We also did find, we do have a final copy of the change order that covered the additional 400 and I want to say 80,000 in front of me for the addition of the extension from Erskine to Grass Valley. So again, still looking for those documents and I've started to work on a cost allocation breakdown that would be included as part of a good state of work. And I hope to get back to you on that. Any questions about that? If not, I'll move on to the
first. I got a little bit. If those documents that you can't find, is that holding up the grass, the gorge net, wanting to use the dark fiber from Grass Valley to Wasco to connect the communities in Sherman County?
I don't know about holding up, sir. The reason we're looking for them, and we need to identify whether they exist or not, and apparently they don't, is Frontier Telnet can only assign or transfer its dark fiber rights to the extent those are documented. And we would really need, my recommendation, at least to the Frontier Telnet board, will probably be that we need to get a standard dark fiber lease in place with Inland. Both protect Frontier, and my guess is Inland will want that kind of document to finalize the industry standard dark fiber lease before it would agree to basically, for lack of a better term, a sublease or a transfer. So I'm not sure if that answered your question, Judge, but we needed to determine what existed before we could start working on
it. Yep, it does. It clarifies it. What's that?
Just hold off until we get through, then I'll take a few questions.
Well, this was a comment on what we were just talking about.
Okay, real brief.
Okay, I know. I'll wait till the end.
Judge, if this involves the Sherman project, then could I ask that someone get closer to the mic?
We'll do it. We're going to ask this question at the end. So you can move on.
We're getting pretty close here. Okay. Let's just go ahead and move on down to the Frontier 911 Burn Fire Tri project right quick. Kind of give us a quick
okay
overview of that.
This could be the last the last document you have, it's a single page at the top that says what your Burns Bayou Drive add-on project net cost calculation.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay, hopefully, eventually, this will be self-explanatory, but basically, this is just what it says, the net cost calculation to Frontier of the addition of the Burns Bayou Drive in 2018. Section one describes the equipment and installation costs. Basically, from the documents, the agreements that I've seen, Frontier 911 signed an agreement with the Burns Tribe where they basically tried to pay $60,000 toward equipment costs. Subsequently, Frontier Telnet signed an agreement with Motorola about a month and a half after the tribe signed theirs with 911, where the actual equipment and installation cost totaled $67,000. So on the equipment side, there's a net under collection of about $7,178. Section two is the Motorola warranty or the annual service agreement. This was an addition to the standard existing Motorola annual service revenues. And you'll see the numbers in red are the amount that that annual contract with Motorola increased by the numbers basically the net Burns add-on. They gave a gross number, then they gave a discount, but basically it increased by about $407.67. Solely to add the equipment purchase for the Burns Drive. Section three shows the cost of the circuits from that Frontier Telnet wound up purchasing and still pays for Windway to connect the Erskine switch to the Burns Tribe facility. There, you'll notice the initial installation cost is $3,500, and then it goes to a monthly recurring of $475 a month. So the first year costs were a little bit more than the cost that they will be this year. The bottom, section four, is basically adding it all up. So according to these calculations, the documents I've seen accurately reflect, as of the end, December the 31st of 2018, as of a week or so ago, basically Frontier Telnet lost $21,270 towards absorbing that amount in connection with this project. That will increase as you go to the right, so that at the end of 2021, that number will be about $53,000. One side note to mention here, the 911 agreements with the tribes basically has the tribes paying the $60,000 for the equipment and also agreeing to pay Frontier 911 $475 a month for an ongoing monthly charge. That roughly equates to the monthly charge that Frontier is paying to Windway for that circuit. So one potential question I think to ask would be whether or not Frontier 911 is collecting that money, and if so, whether that will be possibly passed through to Frontier to mitigate some of these costs.
I don't think there was anything for 3 years. They were paid $60,000 and then no pay was for 3 years.
For 3 years. And then on another little note here, this, I just talked with these back with Jay Wireless, this other $7,100 was, I believe it's something, the $60,000 plus $7,100, that was for extra equipment that the board approved. So
that was the Motorola project cost.
With the assumption that Harney County would come on to this at some point. So that other $7,000 we did vote to approve that, to go ahead on adding that on there.
And I questioned it when the bill came in and talked to Mike Smith, and he said, oh no, well, we're just going to have to absorb it.
It was approved by the board to go ahead and spend that extra money for this.
That's what he said.
That would have that link there. Yes,
specifically to have.
Judge, I'm sorry to interrupt. I can't, if I'm interrupting somebody, let me know. I can't hear anybody but you. But I do want to just add on that all the costs here were approved by the board. There are meeting minutes, and there may be some refinements about like equipment costs that could be allocated to somebody else. I'm going strictly off of the meeting minutes and the contracts I've seen that they're directly tied to the Burns project. So I know he's thinking this is done, but it's fairly, it's definitely done from all the agreements that I see.
Can I say something there?
Yeah, come on, Ryan.
I'll come up, so he, Jim, can you hear me okay?
I can now, yes.
Okay. It's important to say that when Burns Paiute came on, there was also the possibility for the entire county of Harney County to come on also. That has not happened as of yet, but Frontier Telenet decided to build the system such that it could accommodate that in the future. There was some additional cost, it wasn't extreme, and the board decided that that was a good investment. So the system is available and ready should Harney County want to come on in total, not just the tribe. So that's why the cost was higher.
Any other questions?
So then the bottom line is, if they're not paying for 3 years, is what we think, correct?
Yeah, I think there's maybe two more years.
So that would be 2019 and 2020. So the $31,865 and the $42,466 will be costs that we will not recoup from them being on the system. Okay.
Those are cumulative. So it's 42,000.
42 is the total
over
the years.
Got it. Okay. But they will start paying in 2021, but only a portion of this. Correct?
I believe so. I know I found it in the minutes from Frontier Regional 911 meeting.
Where they, part of the agreement was we were given that service for free for 3 years.
Yep, I remember right. I remember that too.
Judge Morley, would you mind taking your mic back? I can see you talking, but I can't hear you.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's go ahead and move on down to the daily administration requirements. You can probably fill us in on that pretty good too. I know we need somebody that's gonna have to be right there pretty much all the time to take on, to answer the phones and take on the day-to-day tasks of this organization.
Yes, sir. Again, I was hoping to get a more comprehensive list. I think this will be something that we'll probably need to address on Friday during the meeting when we start talking about a compliance officer and those kind of daily tasks. But from my standpoint, someone's going to be needed pretty much immediately and definitely over the next 30 or 60 days in order to handle the regulatory reporting requirements we talked about earlier. The PUC and FCC annual reports, basically start getting those ready. We will be to designate a compliance officer with the FCC. That would be somebody to field any inquiries and basically make sure those get routed. Same with a public records custodian. The 2017 changes to the Oregon public records law require the designation of a records custodian. It has some pretty tight timelines with respect to fielding and responding to public records requests. So we'll need somebody to handle those. And those, at least in my experience, I've been trying to send them Ruben's way as much as possible, but they have tendency recently, given the focus of the pressure telling them to absorb quite a bit of time. Similarly, just having somebody with daily management and to help coordinate with invoicing day wireless, handle outage calls in conjunction with day wireless, and do prep for board meetings and prepare agendas and things of that nature. This is our second one this month, and we've got another one in 48 hours or 72 hours. So takes quite a bit of time to do that. So those are off the top of my head. It's something that is probably, those are the kind of tasks that, putting aside, I know we still need to work on and move on to developing the strategic planning proposal or the turnaround proposal. But it's the daily stuff that at least is absorbed. I know your time is my time, at least within the last 10 days.
We need somebody to get our, keep our website up current too.
Good point. Updating the website, and frankly, I look in conjunction with the public records custodian. Our document retention policies, I'd like to see transitioning to the domain-based email servers. I know I've got you set up. I've got one established for Judge Joe. I've talked to him about it. I have set one up for Judge Farrar. I've not had a chance to talk with her about trying to make sure that all of Frontier Telnet related matters are routed through Frontier Telnet's email domain base, so that we can maintain and archive a record going forward. We also, I have made contact with Mike Smith and Rob Myers, and they are working with me to transfer electronic documents. We'll need to merge their Frontier related emails into our archives, so there is quite a bit to do on that front as well.
Any questions? Anything? Hey, Tom, you want to come on up here?
Your question?
Your question you had earlier.
Well, I'm just going to say, Mike Smith, a day or two ago, sent me a set of documents concerning the Sherman County fiber line, including one that provides documentation of what GlenWave was going to provide us for the $1.5 million. So those documents have been drafted evidently, but they've never been approved by the Frontier Telnet board.
Okay.
And so that needs to be done.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Anybody
else? Judge Gordon?
Yes, sir.
I didn't catch all of that, but if there are documents, if whoever has documents to send them to you, I can take a look to see if it's something that I've seen, or if it's something else.
Okay, I sent them to Judge DeVolskis, but and I'll show him where they are, because it was just a day or two ago, and I will also send it to you.
Okay, thanks. No. Is there anything else? Okay. Anybody have anything else they want to comment on? Okay, we'll go ahead and adjourn this work session. Thanks everybody for coming in. Thanks, Mr. Deason, for everything.
Yeah, no, thank you, sir. Let me know if there's anything else I can do today.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. I'm bug eyed right now.
Goodbye.